Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us, friends and family, and welcome to Straight Talk Radio with Ted Santos and Blair Nash. We are the show made for men by men, but ladies, you won't want to miss it. You want to be right here with us. I'm Ted Santos, and right inside, right next to me is Blair Nash. Let them know you're in the house, Blair.
What's up, everybody? Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Thank you again for always listening to the show, and hope everyone is having a wonderful weekend and in addition to that, a great Mother's Day so far. How you doing, Ted?
Yeah, I'm fine, and yes, definitely. Happy Mother's Day for all the mothers. Happy to have you aboard on the show, and hope you enjoyed your Mother's Day. As they say, it ain't over yet, so this is still your day. And me, I'm doing pretty well. All is going well. I'm looking forward to this topic. This should be a good one. We've had some good interaction on Facebook. People thinking about interracial relationships. So, how are you?
Are you there, Ted?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay, I heard how are you, and that was the last thing I heard.
That's what I asked. How are you? What's going on?
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Oh, please listen to me. I'm the one. Doing well, man. I'm doing good. Had a good weekend. Went blazingly quick, but, you know, it's such is life, and I'm ready to rock and roll again tomorrow. And everything is good. No complaints at all. No complaints.
Cool.
Real quick, before I get going, let me shout out the number. The call-in number for us is 323-642-1387. Again, it's 323-642-1387. We already have a few callers on hold. I would just ask if you would be so patient as to just give us a minute. I promise you we're going to get to you, and we're going to get rolling. But, Ted, go ahead and kind of dip us into the show and tell us what made you come up with this topic.
So we're going to talk about interracial relationships. And the question that we posed, are interracial relationships accepted in the 21st century? And, you know, I think, and I've spoken to people about this show we're doing today, and the feedback was kind of like, really? People are still concerned about that or what? Why is that? But if we're just talking about here in the U.S., they say, this is as of 2010, that 15% of all new marriages were interracial. And that's, like, that's up. They say it was significantly lower back in the 1950s, you know, and even if you look at the early 2000s. So they say 15% is the highest number that it's ever been. And that's marriages, although there are probably still a lot of people who live together and enter racial relationships that are not married. But when they talk about people who made the commitment and did get married, it's a big deal. The other thing that they said, and so we asked, interracial marriages, are they accepted? They say that in the 1950s, 5% of the U.S. population found it acceptable. And right now it's about 80% find it acceptable. So so when people ask, are people still concerned about that? I guess there's at least a 20%, 15 to 20% of people are still concerned about that. Interracial.
Absolutely.
And you know, when I was living abroad, I was in Costa Rica, and I would meet just randomly people from the States who were traveling. And I remember meeting this woman. She said she was Jewish, and she was dating a Latino. And this was late 90s. And her father, her grandfather, asked her, said, honey, you know, granddaughter, I understand that you may want to experiment a little bit and see what else is out there in the world. but you've been dating this Hispanic guy for some time now. So when are you going to stop playing around and get serious and find yourself a nice Jewish boy? Because he didn't really like the idea of her dating a Latino.
Okay.
So these
wow.
things still, these conversations still happen.
Absolutely they do. Absolutely they do. Yeah, I'm, you know, I won't even go into really the whole, you know, my personal beliefs and everything. What I would just say is this, it is a big thing. You know, you take any type of celebrity that's out there. I mean, we could take, you know, I'll give you an example. Idris Elba just got married like in the past couple weeks. Everybody's happy for him. I think his wife's name is Sabrina something. Everybody was like, oh, wow, I'm so happy to hear that. Now, let the narrative been changed a little bit. And let's say that he actually brought in, as we call it, Becky with the good hair. And he's sitting there and they're locked lips. Every person on social media would have flipped their lid. They would have been mad. Now, there's always a couple of people like, no, love who you love. No question. I agree with that. But for the most part, people are that stigma and that kind of that, and I don't know the word to really use, but that thing is still there that kind of, you know, just gets in your soul when you see, you know, a black man with a white woman with a black man, et cetera. You know, I mean, again, you love who you love. But I'm saying that people still have issues with it. And to kind of, you know, put blinders on and act like that's not happening is naive. It's really real. You know, if I go into an event and I'm talking to women and I'm saying, you know, I love my black women. I love, you know, they do everything. They are goddesses. And then I say, well, I'm actually married to an Asian woman. People are going to say, well, isn't that kind of, you know, that's a little hypocritical, wouldn't you say? So, again, like I said, I'm not here to, you know, say it's right, it's wrong. That's not what I'm here to do. What we do here on this show is we talk about the topics and try to understand and kind of give some clarity and transparency to why people still feel the way they do, which is the whole purpose of the show.
So, Blair, let me say this. I'm thinking of the way to express this. So my last name is Santos. You know, of course, that's on my father's side. And you could say my father would be the result of a mixed race. But, you know, when you look at Santos, our name came from Brazil. And when you live in those Central and South American countries, it's so possible to see, and everyone has the same parents, it's possible to see one guy who's very light, one guy who's dark, and they're brothers and sisters in one family, and you'll see someone who looks white or almost white and someone who looks like my complexion and someone your complexion, all in one family. So my grandfather, if you saw him, you would say he was a white American. Some thought he was Italian, but he looked like a Portuguese Brazilian. So that's what I grew up with. And, you know, Christmas time at my family, it looks like a UN meeting because almost no one in my family has married or consistently dated people from the U.S. So, you know, their spouses from Trinidad and Puerto Rico and Guatemala, China. They've come from everywhere. You know, the women marry a white male or a male with a white woman, you know, Russian. All of that is in my family. And me, just personally, I've dated women from all the continents, like Africa, Asia, Caribbean, South America, Central America, of course, North America. So I've dated those women who are truly mixed that you don't even know what they are, like half Asian, half Hispanic. And, you know, first language is Dutch, it's some other language. So I've had a lot of experience with this and even in my own family personally, you know, some of us, you don't even know where we come from. So my my experience and I guess, you know, maybe my grandfather and my grandmother, you would say she's a mulatto, that created some level of open-mindedness that we as a family are okay being with a person. Like you said, it doesn't matter. Who you love is not predicated on skin color. It's being able to be with the person who treats you the best, where you're going to have the best relationships.
Right. Okay, cool. Let's grab our first call real quick. We got area code 415 on the line. 415, you are live and you are on the air. Area code 415. All right.
Well, maybe a little shy today.
I guess so. All right, cool. We are going to go now to area code 347. 347, you are live and on the air.
Good evening. It's Tina Marie.
Hi, Tina Marie. How are you? Happy Mother's Day.
I am blessed. Thank you so much. It's nice to share part of my Mother's Day with you gentlemen.
Oh,
well, thank you very much,
you.
Tina Marie. Appreciate that. The topic tonight is, we, as you probably know, are interracial relationships accepted in the 21st century? What are your thoughts on that?
As I was listening to you gentlemen speak, yes, I believe it is accepted. I am from a cultural, very cultural diverse family. I was born, my father is African American and American Indian. My mother is Irish American and American Indian. And as I was listening to Mr. Santos say, it's not easy at times. I believe back when I first came into this world, it was not accepted at all. I have family members that were very against it, and I didn't know what was going on because you're a child. You don't know. You just know that they are treating you differently. But I have people in my family that are Asian, African American, Irish American, American Indian, German. And my ex-husband is also, he's Hispanic, he's Puerto Rican and American Indian.
Okay.
So my children are different. Are they accepted? Yes. You know, is it more acceptable now? Yes. Than when my parents were? Yes. When my parents first started? Yes. You know, it's not stigmatized, I believe, anymore.
Uh-huh.
Unless it is very closeted. Like racism is.
Go ahead. I was just going to ask about culture. So you think, people often talk about my culture. Do you think that creates a clash if it's two different ethnic groups?
If it's two different ethnic groups? Not
in
if you're
culture,
mature enough.
Yeah.
No, not if you. No, it wouldn't clash. It would only clash if you're immature. If you are mature enough to handle something like that, then it won't clash because then you can learn from someone else's culture. You know, there's certain things that I've learned from some of my other family members that are culturally different from I am, and learn to cook and even speak their language and cook some of their traditional dishes.
Uh-huh.
It's a learning process. You have to want to learn.
Okay. Real quick, let me say this. Our call number is 323-642-1387. We're going to get to the callers that are on hold. I promise you to just hang tight. Let me ask you this. So, I mean, here we are in 2019, and, you know, to Ted's point, we are moving the needle as far as race relations. You know, when you look at where we are versus 10 years ago, versus 20 years ago, 30, 40, you know, we definitely see more interracial relationships happening. I will say this, though, that you also see, you know, going back to my point earlier, you do see a lot of anger, agitation, et cetera. if you were to, you know, I know different people who have actually gotten married to someone in, who is Caucasian, and they said, you know, my parents have literally disowned me. Why do you think that there's kind of this cloud that hangs over race, you know, any type of race relations or any type of interracial relationships? Why do you think people here in 2019, with all the movement we've done as far as race relations, with, you know, the things like We Are the World happening and all that, you know, and just all the wonderful things that have put, you know, we've seen, why do you think people still hold so tight to their beliefs and their philosophies about you stay over there, excuse me, you stay over there, we stay over here, everything's cool? Why do you think people have issue when they're when there happens to be an integration of a relationship?
Ignorant mindsets.
Okay.
Ignorant mindset.
Okay.
What do you think they are ignorant of? What do you think they are ignorant of?
Other people's cultures. They're afraid. Fear. Ignorant mindset and fear of learning someone else's culture that you may just see that, wow, they may have the same interests I do.
Let me ask you this, though. If you look at, you know, and I don't know if you've ever seen any of the graphs. I mean, I'm looking at one right now that basically shows the different races and how they're divided up. And as far as any type of marrying outside of your race, we are the race of people, talking about black people, we're the race of people that actually do that and go that direction the most. Most other races kind of stick with their own. Hispanics with Hispanics, Asians with Asians, Somalians, blacks. It ties all the way down the line. So are you saying that, you know, there's kind of an ignorance level on all sides? Because, again, if you're in the Asian race and they bring somebody black home, they're going to have an issue. For the most part, I think there's going to be an issue no matter what race you're in. So are you saying that pretty much all races have that?
Yeah, they can be ignorant. If you're afraid, yes. Okay. I have my nephew who is from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle married an Asian woman. And I know her family wasn't very accepting at first, but they produced three beautiful children. They're hardworking professionals. And, you know, they've accepted it over time. Some haven't, but they're moved on with their life and they're very happy. It's just not,
right.
It's not seen as it, you know, it's not seen as it should be.
Mm.
You know, people are not saying, let's go post something positive.
Okay.
Fear or whatever.
Right. Ted, do you have something to add? I want to go to the next caller, but I wanted to talk before you did that.
Sure. Well, two things, and I'll tell you a real story after we have some more callers. But I was watching a daytime television program, and they asked a white guy who was probably early 30s, and they asked him, how would you feel about your sister marrying a black man? He said, hell no, I'd be against it. I would disown her. I wouldn't even let it happen. So then the host said, well, what if your sister was going to marry Michael Jordan? He said, oh, well, that's a different story. I'm okay with that.
I believe it. Right.
I believe it. I agree.
And he asked, well, what's the difference? And he said, well, it's the stereotype of what I see amongst blacks and how they live their lives. Littering, throwing paper on the ground, being violent, they steal, those kind of things. I wouldn't want my sister to be part of that. He said Michael Jordan is about something. He wants to accomplish things. So,
right.
You know, that's Tina Marie was talking about, you know, being married to an Asian. And there's some,
absolutely,
not just preservation of the gene line, but there is a concern about responsibility, and some people have real visions of generational wealth, and how do you,
perpetuate that?
And they don't want to disrupt that. They don't want to see that generational wealth being disrupted by someone who doesn't understand the vision of, let's just say, their family.
Right, but Mr. Sunson, whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? That stereotype has been with black people for centuries, but we are the most hardworking people on the planet. My father, for one, I grew up with his work ethic.
I watched
my grandfather, my great-grandmother, God rest her soul, who passed several years ago. I can trace back my lineage. Okay, so it's our responsibility as adults to educate, but if you keep complaining, oh, I can't do this, they're stopping me, this person is stopping me, then you're already doomed. You have a negative mindset, you're not going to have a positive life and outcome. Look, you gentlemen are prime examples. I'm sure you've had experiences and setbacks in your life, but you turn those setbacks into something, okay, I'm going to move forward.
My
setbacks in life, you know, I've turned them into, not always, we don't always do it, but you know what? We're successful, and that depends on what success means to you.
Right.
And the children watch everything we do.
Absolutely. Thank you much for your comment. If you want to stay on the line, you're more than welcome to. We are going to go to area code 314. 314, you are live on the air with Straight Talk.
How you doing?
All right.
Not bad.
How are you? Where are you calling from?
Calling from the Midwest, the South, and far north of Missouri, one of the two.
Missouri,
want you guys to kind of hang with me on this. This is a very good topic.
My
name is Pianki.
Say that again.
My name is Pianki.
Pianki, thanks for calling us. Yeah.
Pianki Bencole.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, all this thing about Mary, you guys Christian? You believe in the Bible?
I'm very familiar with the Bible. I went from kindergarten to eighth grade to a Catholic school, so very familiar. But keep going.
Well, you know, in the Bible, it speaks against giving your daughters to their sons and their sons being given to their daughters.
Okay.
And that's near history. And going back further than that, the ethnic groups, God, especially the Cushites, forbid it, the same thing. They were ethnocentric. Now, you know the funny thing about that? There was no white, quote-unquote, Europeans in the land at that time.
Okay.
So what you would consider interracial to them was you marrying somebody who was probably Asian or even other what we would call blacks today.
Okay.
Chancellor Williams' book talks about that on a couple of pages, where the Mossy King said that the land pushes against the sea and the sea pushes against the land. The two were never meant to be. And also the designation of the nation when certain people come into it. Let's speed forward. In the United States, we asked the question, is interracial marriage okay? Well, same-sex marriage is okay in the United States.
Right.
And also, yes, you do have black families that would disown their child if they do marry somebody outside of their ethnic group. I know a black family that disowned their son because he married a white woman. There's been some mercy killings here in the United States. There in Hillsdale, Missouri, you had a person from the Mideast who killed his daughter because she was dating a black man. I think he was from,
I don't know
if he was Egyptian or who. Yes, there's been several cases of that.
And how recent
here in America?
Two cases? The one
about 20 years. About 20 years ago.
20 years.
Yes.
Okay.
And here's another point. In Africa today, it's the same thing. Nigerians, now it's not, see, you got those on the left, those on the right, and you got those in the middle. Now, you have some people on one of the far sides that won't marry outside of their particular ethnic group, even though they're all the same nationality. A Yoruba will not marry, you know, one of the other ethnic groups there in Nigeria. And she, this one I said, she said she definitely would not marry an African American.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So that does still exist.
Wrap this up.
Pardon me?
Do me a favor and kind of compress this about 20, 30 seconds because we definitely got to get to
Well, what I'm saying
is
that. What I'm saying is that it exists. See, I married a woman from Ghana. From the she's Awe, and they not too peculiar with other groups there like the Shanti. So yes, it does exist. It's not based on somebody something wrong with people's mind. If we're gonna say it's something wrong with people's mind, then we need to go back to the beginning of time. And one other thing, when people make mention that they are part this, part that, and so on. All right. When it comes down to reparations, do they get any?
That's a different topic.
When you say
you're going to take us somewhere else.
Well, not
you,
an individual.
Excuse me,
because,
sir.
Well,
okay.
Hang on for a second. He wanted me to compress it. Because it's true, because the question has been addressed at a judicial level here within the last few years in court cases.
Okay.
Who would get it and who would pay?
Right.
You follow me?
Okay. King Maria, it sounded like you had a question or something you wanted to say. Go right ahead.
No. Yes, I had a comment in regards to the gentleman speaking now in regards to reparations. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, if you are mixed, they will prove in court, you have to prove your percentage. That's why I said, if you heard what I stated, I can trace my lineage back. And some of my family members, including myself, are entitled to the reparation. But again, like I said, you have to know your history as you do your personal family history, as you know the history you just stated, sir.
Well, let me ask you a question, and I'm not trying to get no argument. If $100 went to a person,
sometimes
I didn't say I know people who have. But what I'm saying is this: now think about it, and this is all just information to make people think. If $100 is given to a person who have a claim that's one that goes straight back to the continent. And today you have African American who's mixed with Europeans and everybody else. Out of that $100, how much would they get? $5? $10?
It's a good question.
Is that a question you're asking for everyone or for Tina Marie?
Oh, anybody. I mean, just to make you think. And you know what? Here's another question, too. Wait a minute. Listen to this. The people that was brought here for a reason. In some cases, it's because of crimes that they committed there. And in those societies, the sins of the father follow the child.
Okay,
they're here. And they still owe restitution. They are your ancestors. So do you owe restitution to the people that they done wrong to over there in those villages right now? Because toward their society, yes, it's that way. So we can say that whites today owe restitution to black Americans in the form of reparation for what your ancestors done in the past here. Well, the same thing can be said, well, your ancestors done wrong to us over there. In L.A., when the riots was going on and blacks burnt down Korean businesses, Koreans can say, well, you blacks owe us reparation for tearing up our property.
Right.
Okay.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
You know, it definitely is a good point and everything. I think what we're doing is we're kind of shifting the entire conversation to more of a reparations.
I was just making people think. And because on interracial, if there's no law against it, if people are free to do it if they want to, or if they don't want to. And if there's family, family conditions, then those have to be considered by that particular individual and their family.
Okay.
Right.
Awesome.
That's correct.
Thank you so much for your time.
Cool.
Really
I'll put myself on mute and listen.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in.
All right. What are your thoughts, Ted?
I want to share something. So I met a woman from Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She's white American, and she was raised as her father was a Klan member, so was her grandfather, and that was the culture of her family. Very involved in the Klan. She went to college in Chicago, and she went to a big college, and there were people from all over the world in this college. And she said she was now being exposed to all these worldly views, like she had never heard all these different perspectives. She was raised in the Midwest under a Klan philosophy. And so come Christmas time, she comes home with a black man. This is a true story. This is not made up. I mean, this woman sat down and told me the story. And you can imagine her family flipped. So she said, I met a guy. I'm going to bring him home for Christmas. And she knew not to tell them anything about race. And they freaked out. Well, even though they freaked out, she married the guy. And what she told me was they were against it. They were angry, except when their child was born, all of a sudden they accepted the guy. Like everything changed once the child was born. So that stuff like that can happen. I mean, and that's an extreme, very extreme case. But that was a big problem. Like the last caller was saying, families can have a problem. And sometimes that happens. Hell, that can happen if you're of the same race, the same ethnic group. Disapproval of the marriage or any union. And sometimes the children, grandchildren, bring everyone together.
Right. I know, things have just happened to the point now where, we can't think back. We can't have this analog mindset of thinking kind of like we had back in the 60s, 70s. Where, blacks stay on one side, whites stay on another. You know, as it is now, I think they said maybe by the year 2050, if I'm not mistaken, and maybe, Tate, you know probably more about this than I do, but I think they said that, pretty much most races will be homogenous. There won't be any sort of, okay, you're white, you're black, you're Asian. It'll be kind of this, collective of just all these different races of individuals. And I've even been told by a number of people that folks who are already kind of dating someone who is of a different, of a different race, they're kind of ahead of the game because that's how things are going to, that's the trend of where they're going to go in the next 20 to 30 years. There won't be any, oh, she's a white woman I'm dating or she's a black. No, it'll be, she's mixed with this, and that because there is so much kind of, intermingling of the races. So, I think that's where it's headed.
Yeah. I lived with a woman, and she was her mother was from Dominican Republic, and her father was half Asian and half Chinese. And all Asian people knew she was Asian, no question. And Hispanics pretty much thought she was Hispanic because they would approach her. And speaking Spanish. But really, you didn't know, you couldn't really tell where she was from. You just didn't know. And it was interesting because she could pick both sides, either side of the fence. Like she wasn't really a race because of that. But she could say, well, I'm Dominican, and she could relate culturally, but she didn't necessarily relate as a race. So there were things that she appreciated about the Dominican side of her family, and then there's the Indonesian side of the family and the Chinese. So she had it kind of like having no allegiance to a race. And I'm sort of taking on what you just said about people being no race. It was like she had a freedom to not have to choose to be on any side if she wanted.
Oh, right.
Could I make a comment on that, please?
Sure.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead. Real
okay,
quick, I got to go to my next one. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go real quick. Just, what happens to a program designed specifically for African Americans, like the United Negro College Fund? College scholarships that's out there that's specific for African Americans. You have them that's specific for gays, specifically for people that's left-handed. Daughters of the Confederacy. Also, this next 2020 census would further subdivide what we call Black African Americans. Nigerians would be able to pull themselves out. Ghanaian Americans would be able to pull themselves out. Ethiopians would be able to pull themselves out. Something else to think about. I go on mute.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for that.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir, for your comment. We are going to go to area code 614. 614, you are live and on the air. 614.
Is that me, Mike?
It is.
Yes,
Mike.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Good evening, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Good.
Stay where you're calling from, please, Mike.
I'm calling from Columbus, Ohio.
Awesome, awesome. Hope you've been listening, had a chance to listen to the show. Tonight's topic is about interracial relationships and are they accepted in the 21st century. What are your thoughts on that, please?
Hey, Mike, do you have some background noise there? You must be out in public.
Yeah, I'm about to head out real quick.
All right, that's better.
If you could please repeat that question again.
Yeah. No, I was just saying the next topic is, we're talking about interracial relationships. And are they something that in the 21st century that is more accepted? You know, are they becoming accepted, et cetera? So just wanted to get your thoughts and feelings on that.
I'll definitely say there are cities, and I don't know if you and pockets, especially here in Columbus, Ohio, it's developing. And then if you've been to North Carolina, it's, oh my gosh, it's like interracial dating relationship cap, one of the interracial relationship capitals in the United States. Like, it's like all over. And I think it's becoming more mainstream, it's becoming more accepted. And I don't know if you read that issue of Time where they said in the next, 20 or so years that it really isn't going to be like a true race or anything like that. Have you seen that cover?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have not, but
so,
I actually made that point just a few moments before you got on the line. But, yes, you're absolutely right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so so I'll definitely say it's becoming more accepting. You do have, your pockets of individuals who still are not welcoming of it and, fight against it. But for the most part, it's becoming more accepted.
Okay. I always wonder, I'll tell you myself, I have numerous friends who have married interracially. One of my closest friends is actually married to an Italian man. She's a black lady, and she's married to an Italian man. And there's been a lot of conversations that even she and I have had, all three of us actually, where we talk about, kind of break down some of the myths, some of the kind of beliefs that we have about one another. And it's been a learning experience. And, I just think it's just one of those things that's going to happen over a period of time. It's not going to happen in a year. It's not going to happen in a couple of months. But I think as time goes along, as people kind of see things, it'll be accepted. I mean, going back to, I don't know if it was the gentleman that's on mute, going back to what he said, we look at kind of where things are as far as, as far as homosexuality and that being accepted. I mean, if I would have told you 25, 30 years ago that homosexuality would be widely accepted, and people would come out and, you know, they would have no issue with it whatsoever, speaking about whatever gender affiliation that they had, you know, we would have laughed. But here we are, 2019, now people have no problem saying they're homosexual, bisexual, transsexual, pansexual, etc. And I think that's kind of where things are going to go. And I'm not paralleling the two. I'm paralleling the narrative of how we, you know, how you get there. I think that is going to be something that just is going to be accepted over a period of time. And, you know, for the people, you know, I think it's just gonna, it's one of those things you just want to have to get on the boat. If you're not, if you have a problem with it, if you're like, you know, my daughter married that black guy and I can't, well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Because you are going to have to understand and realize that that is a part of where our society is headed. And, you know, I'll be the first to tell you, you know, I'll be the first to say I've even softened my approach, because I was very, I won't quite say I was the level of Malcolm X, like, you know, I don't want the whites to commingle, but I was very much like, you know, no, blacks should marry blacks, et cetera. And I've even kind of looked at some things and had a lot of conversations with individuals, you know, about that. And I'll even say, I even, you know, kind of went back and retweaked one of my books that had been out and took out some of the kind of the, not anything that was bad, but just some of the language that I had that was kind of saying that, you know, people should, you know, focus on marrying black only. You know, as you learn, you grow. And I tell people all the time, I don't, you know, I got a lot of knowledge, but I don't have it all figured out. So it's one of those things that I think is just a growing process with all of us. You know, the flip side of it is, you know, there are people out there that when they marry interracially, they throw it in your face and brag to you, I got a white man, I got a white woman. There's a problem with that as well. So I just think it's a learning experience for everybody.
Yeah, I would definitely say that it is. And, you know, originally I'm from Brooklyn, New York. So I grew up in a neighborhood and from a family who, you know, because the times that I was growing up in, we had racism was still, you know, prevalent. And what started happening was, like, your family started telling you stuff like, oh, ain't no son, ain't no daughter of mine going to marry anybody white, ain't, or, you know, just outside their race. And especially the Puerto Ricans, oh, my gosh. Like the Latinos back home, nah, they was marrying, you know, within, you know, their own races and cultures and things of that sort. And then, like, nowadays where you have it to where, you know, I felt like I wasn't going to do that, like that I was going to, you know, just marry somebody. Either she was going to be black, she was going to be, you know, black from somewhere, Africa, Jamaica, or she was going to be Latino. And it just, well, I'll say this. I think I get a somewhat of a pass. People used to say stuff, they figure out what my past was, where I was married. All the women that I ever dated was from, like, different parts of Africa. I mean, South Africa, Kenya, Ghana, et cetera, et cetera. My first wife, she was from St. Louis, black woman. And we got divorced. And then, you know, I really wasn't out here looking. It wasn't a thing of, like, oh, I'm going to marry, you know, another black woman, or I'm going to marry a white woman, or I'm going to marry, you know, an Asian woman. It was just like, you know, if love happened to find me, it is what it is. And, you know, it was just, I was out here, and some of the sisters, you know, they had a problem with me one way or another. And then I just happened upon the woman I married, Emily. You know, she you know, accepted me for who I was, what I was, and how I was. And, you know, I was like, wow, she fell in love with my son. My son fell in love with her. You know, like, prior to her, it was women. They was like, oh, you got a son, and oh, this, and I don't know about that, and I don't know if I could be a stepmom, et cetera, et cetera. So me and her met, fell in love, wasn't planned, wasn't intentional. First date, we played basketball. She beat me. So it was like, wow. Yeah, man.
Wait. She legitimately beat you?
Look, man, I ain't going to lie to you. Like, she invited me out on a date, right? Now, the funny thing is, you know, we like you said, we have our myths about, you know, different cultures, especially white culture. You know, we say white people can't dance, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Man, you know, she could dance. She got a nice body, got some booty. And when she challenged me on the basketball court, I'm sitting up there like, whatever. Man, we get the Lifetime out there in Dublin. She was hitting threes, 15-footers, like she was making layups. I was like, what? And then come to find out, she played on our high school and college basketball team.
Oh, okay. I was like,
she set you up. It was a setup. You were set up.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, still, man, I'm like, you know, I'm 6'2".
So did you give her a hard foul and everything, like knock her to the bleachers?
Man, I was bodying her and everything. I was like, after she scored like 8 points in my two, I was like, oh no, I can't. And there was people around. I was sitting up there. I started playing real hard. And but that's how we, you know, we went and played basketball and we had a hamburger afterwards, that graffiti burger. Like, I'm gonna tell you this about me.
I had
a hamburger. Look, I'm gonna tell you what I would do. I tell brothers all the time, or just people dating. And anybody that I've ever dated, they would tell you, the first place I take them is somewhere like a McDonald's.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say what I'm making, but, you know, I'm doing all right. But the first thing I do, take them to McDonald's or something like McDonald's. And my thing is, I'm going to see how they react. And then when they sit there and like, oh, you know, like, oh, can't we go to Eddie Merlot's? But damn, you want to jump there, you know, so quick? Like, you ain't the one for me. But I was like, yeah, let's go to Graffiti Burger.
Right.
She's like, okay, you know, she was just happy to be with me. She just wanted to talk with me, get to learn. Our second date was at the park. She was cool.
Well, that's hot. Right. Yeah, that's really good.
I tell people all the time, if a woman really likes you, she'll go anywhere with you. It really don't even matter. She'll go to the Subway. She'll go to wherever you want to go. You want to sit out in the park and eat a bag of chips together? Cool. All the stuff that women put you through, that's just, don't even pay attention to it. If women like you, they will go and sit with you wherever, period.
And that is God's honest truth.
You know, I don't know if you can say the stuff
that
Mike is
truth.
Talking about is more
is
cultural. I want to say something that, and someone has some background noise. It's kind of loud. Can you go on mute?
Right. Let me say this real quick. Our calling number is 323-642-1387. I see 1, 2, 3 callers we have on hold. So, promise you we're going to get to you. If you could just hold the line for just a moment, we're going to get right to you. Go right ahead, Ted.
So there's something to be said about, and I'm kind of not even talking about race. I'm talking about different cultural ethnic groups. So the Northwestern University and a place called INSEAD, INSEAD, it's a French university, they did some research, and they were looking at how when leaders have, you're leading people who all kind of have one mindset, and I'm going to read this. It says researchers studied the problem-solving skills and creativity levels of individuals who have lived in two or more cultures versus those who have never lived abroad. The findings from the research demonstrates that when individuals are forced to confront competing assumptions and norms through living abroad, the boundaries of their assumptions and related defenses soften. The concepts of the right way versus the wrong way break down. Instead of responding to a challenge like a deer in the headlights, they see connections and patterns that most others don't see and find the most creative opportunities. So I'm reading that because it says a lot about being open-minded and having that kind of exposure. So this is talking specifically about living abroad in other countries and how the way you see, like your interpretation of things, like your belief system start to break down and you start to be more open if you live in more than one culture. And I'm not talking about taking vacations. I'm saying actually living somewhere.
I can believe it.
And you can have that same kind of effect if you are seriously involved in a relationship with someone whose cultural ways of living and engaging family is very different from yours, and it can have a similar effect, and which can be very beneficial to your children.
Right.
Could I say something along those lines?
Sure.
Now, what he said is absolutely right. Now, talking about myself, I spent time in Egypt, and I'm not vacation. I spent about 9 years in and out doing research in Egypt. Ethiopia, West Africa, from Gambia, Senegal. Of course, I told you my wife is Ghanaian, and I had to go through an ordeal to marry her.
Right.
I mean, a literal ordeal. Nigerian.
Right.
And yes, that is true. These societies, homosexuality is forbidden. You go up in Iran, if you go do a down low on your wife, you're subject to being, you know, executed. So these societies have these rules. Abortion, you know, is forbidden. So these societies have these traditions that they've lived with from since time immemorial. And I'm, for one, say, leave these people alone. They've been doing this. That's the way they do things. And I think that you can respect people. You don't have to accept them, because like the guy, the baker who refused to do the cake, showing two males on top of the image, I think he had a right not to have to do that. They could have went someplace else. So it's when you start trying to force yourself onto your ways and stuff on the other people, that's when you have to draw a line. If they want to accept you, if they want to be a part of you, then they should not be obstructed from doing so. Like you made mention with the brother that said that he was playing basketball with the woman.
Absolutely. Good point. Let me get to my next caller. We're going to go to area code 848. 848, you are live and on the air with Straight Talk.
All right. How's it? How's everything? This is Dwayne Santos. What's up, Ted?
Hey, Dwayne. How are you?
Hey. What's going
on,
man? Thanks for calling.
Everything's everything. Yeah, I was at the mom's house. But I just wanted to respond also real quick for the first caller who mentioned about reparations, you know, Africa, you know, sins of our fathers. You know, for one, the Asians, they got reparations during World War II, okay? They did get reparations. The Jewish faith, they got reparations. Black people were the only ones who didn't get reparations. When slavery was supposedly end, and, you know, it didn't really end, because they end up setting laws and everything, and, you know, it wasn't even until the, 60s, they allow interracial marriage, and they try to take that away. So we didn't get reparation, and I listened to him, and I listened with a third ear. It was almost like he was trying to say, well, it's, you know, black on black crime, and, you know, which there's no such thing as black on black crime. That's my opinion, okay? Because you got white on white crime just as bad, you know? But as far as like, you know, but, and that's all I wanted to say about that. But as far as like marriage, you know, my wife is from Trinidad, you know, and we've been married over 20 something years. And when we first met, you know, when she came to this country and we first met, she had a girlfriend, you know, was like, you know how these American men are, and, you know, this guy, you better just leave him, you know, like just get away from him while you got a chance. Now, we've been together over 20 years, you know.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and remember the one...
Hey, Dwayne, I don't know what's happening, but you're
breaking
away. You're
breaking
away.
Hold up. Give me 1 second. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm gonna switch you over. Okay. I'm gonna switch you over to my headset.
Okay. Is that better? Hello.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah. To switch you over. One of her girlfriend said they saw me with another woman passing by my wife's house. You know, when we were dating, and I'm like, why would I pass by your house with another woman in my car? That would be crazy, you know. But you know, my wife was willing to stick it out, and you know what, it was worth it. You know, we've been together for over 20 something years. Her father, uh-huh. When her father met me, he didn't have to worry anymore. You know, because he met my family. So, you know, he knew that she was in good hands, you know. So
okay.
I just think that depending, like, I guess some family, like, you know, what it is, some of them are afraid. Like, let's say, you know, I'm not a racist,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And like a white America is afraid.
Okay.
They're afraid of interracial because of what America's becoming. It's like you said, you see
right.
more diversity. If you watch TV, it's more diverse. You see commercials, diversity, you know, where you have the little daughter, biracial daughter, you know, her father's white, they're going to get coffee
right.
or going somewhere, you know, and the mother's black.
Right.
So, you know, America's becoming that. If you look at the Democrat Party, it's more diverse than the Republican Party.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I don't think they can handle that.
Exactly. Thanks for your comment, Wayne. Stay on the line. I want to get to another caller
okay.
real quick. We've got area code 312. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk.
Hello?
Hello, how are
Hello.
You?
Hello? Hi, this is Monse. Is this Ted?
Monse, how are you? Calling from Chicago,
I'm doing
right?
great. Yes, I'm here. How are you, Ted?
I'm fine. Buenas noches, ¿sí? ¿O no?
Yes.
Don't start that, man.
Buenas noches. Well,
bueno.
Here I am from Chicago. I'm excited about this conversation.
Okay, thanks.
So why don't you tell us why you're so excited. Tell us what you think
yeah,
about
Yeah, I'm very excited to share this. Well, first of all, English is my second language, okay? So
okay.
I came here to U.S. I hear like a lot of noise. Okay, I came here to USA when I was a kid, okay?
Uh-huh.
So of course, back in my country, before coming here, I am just learning about my culture. So when I'm
uh-huh.
culture, it's almost like everyday work, right? So when I'm there, it's like I see everybody getting engaged, getting married, every once a month, every week. It was almost like me seeing weddings before I come to USA, right? And now coming back here, and that's the part that I'm excited. I get high school. Once I'm in high school, I get a
Monty,
you're
breaking
up.
I don't know what's going on with your
phone,
but your phone is clicking in
and
out.
Right here in Chicago, it's raining, so I'm not sure if that's the case. Can you guys hear me?
Okay.
Yes.
I can hear you just fine now, yes.
Okay. So once I get in high school, I start getting approached by African-American a lot.
Okay.
Right? But don't forget, I'm coming from my country, from Mexico. I'm coming, and it's almost like, okay, like I don't know the language. I have no clue how can this work, right? I never thought myself of me seeing myself with an African because of the language. Second, uh-huh. I always thought they were very attractive. Always. But that's me walking in high school and looking at the guys, right? Very attractive and all the time very nice in terms of saying you how you doing, like very pleased, right? So I passed through high school and then I got married and I'm sorry, I didn't get married, but I got my three kids. So after that, I just ended the relationship a year ago, and I'm going to this. I give myself a break to go to a dance class, and here I am with three kids, and I in a different stage of my life, learning the language a little bit more, so I get to meet this man, African American. Okay, so it makes me remember those days when I couldn't speak to the guys, right? That they were approaching me. So he does come very pleased at me, and talking to me very nice, and it was just like that moment that I said, "Wow, I to try something different." And I'm like, okay, let me go for it. So,
So my what I'm surmising from what you're saying is that you are very pro mixing of races. That's fine with you. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. So so at that moment I said, this is about to be something different. He's asking me for a date, right? Basically, to go and eat, right, and have a nice dinner. So I did one. Uh-huh. I was a little nervous, but I was excited.
Okay.
I was very excited. I was very excited about knowing what was all this about, right? So through the dinner, we had a great time, and he was just like those guys back in my high school, very pleased.
Uh-huh.
And once he starts approaching me, we getting very close, and we end up being together as boyfriend and girlfriend. But
okay.
We got more than that, right? So going back to our first kiss, it was just like, for me, it was like very, very excited. But the first time we got into sexual activity, I said to him, why nobody told me about this?
Okay.
And I said, what had I been missing?
Okay.
And I just feel like I'm now in my relationship with him. It's a year now, a year and few months. I'm just feeling excited. I got to meet another culture, but we have been through some challenges. But I'm just so excited,
right,
because of what he has brought into my life, right? It's been
so different,
so much different, and I keep on saying to myself, what have I been missing? Because
Monte, I want to ask you.
Go ahead.
So, I lived in Mexico for about 2 years. And Blair, and Monty, you can tell me if I'm correct, but sort of the sentiment in Mexico is, if you're not Mexican, blood is thicker than water. If you're not Mexican, you're not blood. Like, either you're Mexican or you're not. It doesn't matter if you come from Argentina or Costa Rica. Mexicans are very much, you can call it nationalism, or they very much like being with other Mexicans.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So, Monte, for you to be with a man who's one, he's not Mexican. He doesn't speak Spanish. He's Black American from the U.S. Does your family know about it, and do they embrace it? Are they okay with it, your relationship?
Well, right now, a big challenge, right? And it has to be, I really got to say this, that it has to be from that culture, from Mexican culture, from my family, because they had take this, like, what are you doing? Like, I had been approached by them that they have tell me, are you okay right now? Is something going on with you? And I said, why are you guys asking me this? I'm just doing something different in my life, because the father of my kids was Mexican. Everything was okay for the family. So now I'm dating an African American, and there are just place questions. I just got approached by my brother, and the reason why I'm bringing this, because it's a little bit like, it's stressful for us, but I have to really got to go with the culture. At this point, we're living together. It's been almost 2 months that we're living together. My family didn't know about this.
So okay.
Interesting.
Thinking
Let me ask you this, and I'm gonna get to my next caller. You said that your family didn't know about it. Did you kind of keep it from them because of the fact that you were scared about, you know, him as a person, or was it due to the race?
It was all about the race. Yes, of course, it had it to be with that. So right now at this point, we're together. My brother just knew about this, that we're together, and he just asked me, "When are you guys getting married?"
Okay, all right.
So that's a big thing. That's a big thing for us, because we want to take this easy, right?
right. Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling in. You can stay on the line, and I got to get to two more calls before we kind of lose some traction with the show and, you know, run out of time and everything. So
okay.
Let me try to go.
All right. Nice to talk to you guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hold on. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, we're gonna go to Eric. Go ahead, Ted.
No, I said next caller.
Okay, we're gonna go to area code 513-513. You're live on the air.
Ooh.
513. I believe that's Cincinnati. If you're listening, Cincinnati 513. Okay. All right, next we're going to go to area code 347. Come on, 347, you're live and on the air.
Oh, boy.
Area code 347.
Oh, they close.
Hey, Dwayne,
hello?
Is that you? Yeah,
no,
Dwayne,
that's not
you
me.
Put it on mute? No, put it
okay.
on mute,
okay.
Dwayne. We can hear, we can
okay.
hear you.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So my next question I have is more in the lines of, you know, whenever you talk about relationships in general, they're a struggle. You know, they can be a struggle if you're dating someone across country. They can be a struggle if you're dating someone who lives 60 seconds away. I think the thing that I always kind of look at, you know, race relations when you think about someone, a couple getting together, is – it does, you know, in addition to the other things of, you know, chemistry and, you know, finances and is this person loyal, are they faithful, and do you even really actually like them? Now you have to kind of go against the grain of, you know, the race issue. And I know, as I mentioned in the very beginning of the show, I've talked to a number of people who have had struggles, you know, whether it be parents not speaking to you. I know one particular woman was saying that, you know, when she goes out with her husband who's Caucasian, you know, they get a lot of stares, a lot of looks. She even said that there was one time when, you know, someone like walked up to their car and kind of like gave him kind of this stare, like, you know, I'm going to do something. And, you know, when you think about it in that manner, you think to yourself, gosh, I mean, you know, people who, you know, who are in interracial relationships, they go through a lot. They go through a lot of struggles. Has anyone ever heard any stories or had, you know, I don't know if anyone's willing to, you know, talk about it, but has anybody had any experiences that have, you know, not just someone disliking you or my parents not speaking to you, but have you had any sort of instances where something is almost happened or, you know, has happened? Can anyone speak to that?
No, I'll say, this is me, 614. I'll say that I've had where me and my wife, we was in New York one time, and this is like, you know, we get this now, the stairs and stuff has stopped. Kinda is not as bad as what it was before. Like before, it was like people would just look at us and like literally just stare. And she even got to a point like a few times, like looking at people, like looking back at them, like what the hell are you staring at? But we were in New York one time, and like a guy, what did he say? He said something like, "Hey man, don't you know that we dating within our own race right now?" Like it was from across the street, and then, like me and her both like looked at each other like what the heck. So for the most part, like, you know, people don't, I think they don't say stuff to us because, again, you know, I'm not the tallest, but 6'2", 225 pounds, you know, so they really don't say anything, but they'll there. And that was like the only instance where somebody actually had said something, you know, that caught us off guard. But then, you know, we'll have like folks who, you know, in the past, again, is not as bad now. Like we went up to Cleveland, right? And this one was funny. We went up to Cleveland, so we was at this class, and it was at this gym, which was predominantly black. It might have had one other white person in there, mostly women, right? And, I mean, it was like a few, like maybe over 100 people in the class, right? Mm-hmm. So she came up there with me, and, I mean, the black women in there was, like, looking at her with their arms folded, like, what the hell is she doing here? And, I mean, well, with him, because it was a few other white women in there. And they was like, what the hell? But then, like, towards the end of class, they came over and gave her pop. Like, you know, girl, we was watching you, and what they said? They said something like, you know, They were talking to me and her, was saying like, girl, yeah, we was watching you. You could dance. You got somebody that could dance, and she got some booty. Like just get. Look, I she could tell you. She's sitting here with me right now. I see the ducks. She's sitting here with me right now. Like that's exactly what happened, and it was like real funny. But like I said, first walked in, it was that arms folded and, you know, like, oh, whatever, whatever. And then, like, after, like, during the class, and just how she's very friendly, you know, she's not off-putting. And then when people start seeing, like, her personality, they're pretty much like, oh, like, she's real cool. And then things kind of flip. But, yeah, otherwise, you know, just looks, if anything.
Okay. Can I make another comment on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to tell the young, you know, I hear people say, talk about interracial. Actually, you talk about inter-ethnic groups because there's only one race, and that's the human race. And the United States has an American culture with many subcultures following along these different ethnic groups, whether they're Italian. Now you got Somalis, Black American, the South. You know, America can be identified as about 11 different distinct countries. The people up in the Northeast around Massachusetts is different than those in Florida. And New Orleans is called New Franceland. But I'm married to an African, sir, and I can get the same looks. As we go out, we can get the same looks here in the United States, and especially in her country, because there is a distinct difference in people with looks. So I think those are kind of like human traits. People have curiosity for whatever reason.
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting. You still want to say it again?
I didn't hear. Say that again.
No, I just was. I just wanted to say, were you, did you have a comment on that?
No, no. Do we have another caller?
Yeah, well, I just want to say one thing, too.
Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Dwayne again. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think what it is, we're cultural conditioned to believe that, you know, like when people come to this country, you know, we're better than them. And then when they get here, they think that they're better, you know, because of what's going on. You know, like for instance, when my wife, when we were dating and I spent the night over her apartment, her roommate, who really wasn't crazy about me, brought two guys over, you know, to introduce her, you know, to introduce him to my wife, you know. And meanwhile, you know, we're in the bed sleeping, and then she comes knock on the door, wakes her up and tell her come out to the front room. And so, you know, I'm not going to sit in the bedroom, you know, by myself. So I went out there like after about a half an hour, you know, I went out there and, you know, just let them know that, you know, you're not going to just disrespect me, you know. So, you know, I sat out there and my wife didn't have a problem with it because my wife was waiting for me to come out anyway. You know, so, I mean, I just think that because just because we're a different culture, we're still the same. Like the gentleman said, we're a human race. But, you know, we just come from different backgrounds. And what it's all about is to learn each other, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good comment. Appreciate it.
Can I jump in and say, go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was going to touch on that, like where the gentleman was talking about, you know, in terms of like being with somebody, you know, you could be black, but be with, you know, black American, black African. And if I've seen it both ways, like the American, like black Americans are like, what are you doing with, you know, with her or him, and then the same thing vice versa. But then at the same time over here, this is the thing that loses, that I miss. Like we're so like, oh yeah, let's get back to our roots, let's get back to Africa, let's take a homage back, you know, back to the Ivory Coast or wherever. But it's like we want to have that connection, but we don't want to have that connection. That's where I'm lost at on that.
That's a very that's a very deep point. Yeah, we want to have the connection, but don't. We want all the pluses and the pros and everything. But when it comes time to do the real work, I agree with you on that. Let me skip to another call real quick. It's area code 901-901. You are live on the air with Straight Talk.
North Carolina. All right, who's calling? Where are you calling from?
This is Robert from Memphis.
Thanks for calling, Robert.
What's going on, brothers? What it is. Can you hear me?
Yes,
absolutely.
Perfect.
Yeah, okay. I think what it is, and I'm just going to speak on because I'm kind of coming in late on the show. I got to coming in late. But here's my comment. When it comes to interracial or however you want to say it, now, when we look at our culture, the African-American culture, the reason why it is so difficult for us, because even if it's French, if it's Italian, if it's German or whatever, it is unusual for any other culture to be with us or us to be with another culture, because as African-Americans, we are looked at, or just African, it is unusual for... We are so disliked, let's just be honest. And it is difficult when people see us with another culture. They look at that particular Italian or whatever the case may be. Why are you with this black person? You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And then we as black people, we're looking at, you know, again, if it's, you know, outside of us, you know, we're looking at talking about oppressors and this, that, another. There is nothing wrong with interracial dating. But a lot of us in the black, I'm just going to speak for me because I can only speak for my, well, I'm going to just speak, give my opinion. The reason why a lot of us are doing the interracial dating is because some of us are actually just trying to meet a man or a woman. It doesn't matter what culture, you know. But a lot of us are dating outside of the race because of a myth. And we won't say it out loud. A lot of us are afraid to say it out loud. We have a problem and an issue with the black man and the black woman. We still are injured or hurt from that. So we're going outside of the race to go after a myth, because what has been told to us is that they do things better. Somebody outside of our race, the whatever culture, does it better than a black man, does it better than a black woman. So a lot of us are doing a lot of experimentation when we go out here on the town. We're not looking at a man or a woman. So a lot of times.
Right.
And it's cool to say it's the human race, but we have to be real about what we're saying. Now, for me, I don't date outside the race. There is no reason for me to date outside the race, because between 18 to 99, you got 18 million black women. So there's no reason for me to go outside. I can't hold what one black woman or two black women or whatever, how many black women in my life have hurt me. Now I got to go outside of the race to find love. You know, see what I'm saying? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say you have dropped a lot of knowledge just in your comment, but go right ahead with what you're saying.
Yeah. But like I said before, when we go outside, like I said, for most of us, and like I said, we will not admit to it, but a lot of us are dating black men. You are dating white women or anybody outside of the culture because you are tired. You feel like that your black woman doesn't love you, doesn't care for you. That is the myth that has been told to you, that your black woman doesn't care anything about you. The black woman is dating outside of her race because she is tired of the same old thing, as she say, from black men. So let me go out here and go into this myth, because a lot of times black women and black men will say it. They make it specific. I am dating this type person or Mexican or Hispanic or white or whatever because they do it better than the black man or the black woman. And this is your first individual, so how are you comparing it? Because, like I said, even though in the black culture, our marriages don't last, we do have black men and black women that are dysfunctional, but you believe that outside of the race, nobody else is dysfunctional? You believe that if you get with this white guy, you're going to get this Harlequin romance? You believe that you're going to get with this white woman and you're going to get this submissive female? You don't think white women get upset? You don't think white women are tired of BS? So when we get into interracial dating, it's good. I think what we need to be realistic about, if you are dating outside your race, you're dating for a man or a woman. But I hate to say it, with my culture, most of us, and this is just my opinion, if somebody can prove me wrong, if you'll be honest, most of us are dating outside of our culture because of a myth.
I'll be honest.
We think that if we believe that white folks do it better than black folks. We believe that if I get with a white woman, I'm gonna come up. Go ahead.
It's that old saying of the white man's ice is colder.
Yeah. White ice is better than black ice.
Well,
and go ahead.
You know what?
Go.
When I was coming up, now we was taught not to bring on Billy Bob or Miss Daisy,
right?
And it was taught to our kids and my grandkids. But here's the thing: you have black families that before their daughter is allowed to date even another black man, they do background checks on that person and his family, and vice versa. Before a girl would date my grandson, we do background checks on that family because there's a lot to lose there. I mean, think about it.
Right.
If your daughter marries someone and things don't work out right, she's going to come back to the house dragging kids and trash bags full of clothes. So it's best to try to get it right in the first place. And I told them earlier, because I married a lady from Ghana, West Africa. But even within their society, the whole country is black. Within the ethnic groups in those society, there's those who do not dare marry somebody from that ethnic group. But then again, you got those on the left and those on the right. So it just depends.
Okay. Well, a lot of times when you look at the African – go ahead, Brad. Go ahead.
Let me get Ted in. Oh, is that Mike? Go ahead, Mike. Then we're going to go to Ted.
I'll be real quick. So, yeah, that wasn't my story. So, again, my wife is white. And I'm going to be real with you. Now, there is, you know, when you look at, like, Asian culture, and there are cultures where women are submissive. When you look at it, so like the Asian culture, I was dating, I dated a woman from Japan, and I mean, they're like really submissive for the most part. I mean, they'll cook, even if they got a full time job, they're gonna get home, make sure that you okay, your back rub, they cooking and taking care of the dang kids. Now, in terms of with my situation, no, it wasn't. Oh, you know. The white woman is better because of this and that. Like I said, I don't know if you was on earlier. I dated across pretty much all of Africa at first. Then my first wife, she's African American. And then when that didn't work, I was just out here just like, okay, whatever. And, you know, my thing was, I'm going to let love, you know, happen. And I wasn't looking for my wife, who's white right now. We just started talking. I was like, well, damn. We got so much in common. Like, we got a lot in common. We got stuff that we're learning from one another. Mm-hmm. She loves my son. My son loves her.
Hey,
like,
hey Mike.
This
Mike,
is great.
Mike, we're gonna run out of time. So, can you? I know it sounds rude, but can you wrap that up?
Oh no, I'm done. I'm done.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we got.
I want to make a comment on what you were saying about Asians being submissive. And, you know, it's interesting how where you're from shapes your identity and how identity shapes how you see the world. So in the United States, Asian women earn more money than any other ethnic group, black, white, Hispanic,
right.
in the United States.
Right.
So we call it submissive, almost like a put down. But when I lived in Mexico, what I found was they had male and female had better cooperation with one another. And so we miss a lot of cooperation in the United States. There's a lot of antagonism. So Asians have a lower divorce rate here in the U.S.
Right.
And instead of them being all about a movement, they were all about taking care of their families. And they had no problem playing roles, and you see the outcome. Asian women make more than everyone, and Asian men also make more than everyone. So in a way, you could say they turned out to be the winners because they have their family and they earn higher income. So
I think they come second behind Nigerians on that.
Yeah,
but real
yeah,
quick,
well,
I'm going to tell you what I've done.
No,
I married my 10-year.
We're out of time.
We're out of time.
Yeah, we're out of time.
Okay.
That's because we're gonna keep going on unless we have some extended time, Blair. Do we?
No, we've got literally 90 seconds.
Right. So we're out of time. So, So first, I want to say thank you guys for making this such an interactive conversation. Thank you everyone who called and listened in. There are people who come here to the United States, and they are told who they should best marry, and part of it is because of the ability to cooperate and work together. So, you know, call it dysfunctional, whatever you want to call it, the inability to cooperate can create a very bad reputation personally and professionally.
Maybe you guys can pick this up next week.
We'll see. We have a number of scheduled topics and everything, so we'll talk about it. But like he said, I just want to say thank you to all the callers that called in. I appreciated the men and the women. Again, happy Mother's Day to everyone. Ted, do you want to say anything before we get out of here?
Happy Mother's Day to all. Thank you. We look forward to speaking to all of you next week. And thank you for helping us to make this show a success.
Absolutely. Thank you for everyone who continues to listen to Straight Talk. And have a great week. God bless.
All right. Take care of everyone. Bye.